So I'm Dr. Catherine Bowd, and I am a senior lecturer in the Department of Media at the University of Adelaide. And I also coordinate the Work Integrated Learning Program for the Faculty of Arts, Business, Law and Economics.
And what is your background?
So my background, stretching back into the mists of time, is I started my career as a regional newspaper journalist. And I worked in print journalism for quite a few years before making the transition into teaching and researching journalism.
Well, were you working in a regional capacity or were you working elsewhere?
I started off at a regional newspaper in South Australia, the Border Watch in Mount Gambier. And then I moved into metro newspapers. I spent a bit of time working in the UK, also in newspapers. And then eventually decided to finish off my incomplete journalism degree, and that provided me with an unexpected segue into teaching and researching journalism.
And what's your research focus been?
So my research focus has been on metropolitan media generally, but specifically on local newspapers in Australia, focusing up from the perspective of journalism practice and how that is changing, but also ways that communities engage with local news and news outlets and local news outlets engage with communities.
And I should have actually asked before. So you've had a chance to read the report I sent, so have a look at it?
I have skimmed the report, yes.
And what was your reaction to kind of what was found in that? Because what it seemed to describe, at least from my perspective, was a fairly resilient media ecosystem in the area of the Eyre Peninsula.
Yeah, and that's something that is really interesting to see, because there has been so much change over the past few decades, really, but particularly the past few years since those first impacts of COVID back in sort of around April, May 2020, when the local media landscape around Australia was like everything was thrown up in the air and we kind of waited to see where it was all going to land. And there was a lot of concern at that point about, well, where is this all going? Are we even going to have local news? I think it's showing up in the latest version of the report is the idea that, okay, some of the outlets may have changed, some of the ownership may have changed, some of the audience understanding and expectation may also have changed, sort of underlying all of that, but that there is still clearly a very strong demand for local news, and that there is clearly a very strong and resilient local news environment out there. And that's something which is so good to see, because things looked so incredibly shaky back in 2020 and even into sort of 2021, 2022, that it was very hard to see whether there was actually a future for local news or whether it was going to go down the pathway of a lot of particularly US-based local news, where everything was subsumed into much bigger outlets, much bigger publications.
Did the results surprise you?
Yes, they did. The results surprised me quite a bit, in that I expect things to look as good as they do. And much of a continued emphasis on news that is very local, because that has always been one of the things that has been a driver of local news engagement, of local news reporting. And in all the research that I've done in my time researching journalism, it's been that kind of underlying theme of people in regional areas, first and foremost, want local news. And so to see that in the report that there is such an emphasis on local news on the Eyre Peninsula is something that is both surprising and marvellous to see.
Why do they want local news?
People want to know about the things that affect them. They want to know what is happening in their area. They want to know if a road is going to be closed. They want to know. It's the stuff that gives them opportunities to make decisions about their lives, what is going on in their lives, what is happening to the people around them, because very often in regional areas with smaller communities, much more intertwined than they are in cities. So the person who teaches your kid at school is also the coach of the netball team, and their mum works in the bakery, and those kind of connections, which are much more dense, much more layered, much more complex than they tend to be in metropolitan areas. So it's not just that people want to know about what is happening that directly affects them, but it's also what is happening that affects the communities, that affects the people around them, and so on. And local newspaper audiences have traditionally felt shortchanged by what is happening with metro media. And if you look at a metropolitan media outlet, even though some of them sort of badge themselves as having localised coverage, the majority of the coverage is not local. It's barely even regional. So for local news audiences, what they want to see is what is happening around them, what is happening in their communities, and most importantly of all, what is happening to the people in those communities.
What I'm also hearing you say is that people want to see themselves reflected in their stories and their news coverage that they consume every day.
Yeah, they want to see themselves reflected in the coverage. They want to see the people that they know reflected in the coverage. One of the areas that has always been very dominant in local newspaper publishing has been sports photos. Why are sports photos important? Because they're about people. And they're about seeing your kid in the newspaper, or your brother in the newspaper, or your mum in the newspaper, or your next door neighbour in the newspaper, because they are involved in something that is happening at a local. And those photos of local sport are one of the really strong areas of a lot of local newspapers, because it is about those people. So people want to see themselves, absolutely, but they also want to see the people around them, people that they know. And it's not necessarily always even people that they know well. You go to the same shop and get a coffee every day, and there is the person who's selling you the coffee because they're playing on the netball team. Those kind of connections, so both the very, very tight, close connections, but also those looser connections, are really important in regional areas.
I want to look specifically at the Eyre Peninsula with these results. What was interesting to me is that you have a kind of a very wide region, a very expansive region, home to about, I think, roughly 30,000 people. I mean, how much, when you're looking at these results, you're thinking about the high levels of like representation and localism, the breadth that's covered, the output of these organizations. I mean, how valuable is this work that they're doing in that environment, given the logistical challenges they face just doing their job?
Yeah, local news media, and particularly local newspapers, have always faced huge logistical challenges, just as much because of the geography as anything else. And yeah, it's very typical for a local newspaper to have a readership area determined geographically that stretches, 150, 200 Ks in any one direction. And keeping on top of that is incredibly difficult. And given that most local news outlets are very, very thin on staff, you take someone out of the office for a day and trip around the region to pick up news stories, and there are all sorts of other stories that are then being missed because there is physically no one to do it. So the fact that there is so much local coverage going into media outlets on the Eyre Peninsula, it is actually quite astonishing in a lot of ways, because that is such a huge geographical area where news is being covered by a very small number of people. And okay, the technology absolutely helps. Having Zoom, huge game changer, because you can have a face-to-face conversation with someone without necessarily being in the room with them. And okay, all journalists have always done a lot of their work by phone, but something like Zoom, where you can have that additional layer of interaction and communication, actually really does make a difference. You get so many more cues, particularly the non-verbal cues, looking at someone while you're talking to them. You get much more of a sense of who they are, what they're about, what they're talking about, than you ever can on the phone. Having that kind of technology, I think, does make a huge difference. But nonetheless, the geographical barriers to broad-ranging news coverage in any regional area of Australia, particularly somewhere as vast as the Eyre Peninsula, those challenges are huge. So they're doing an amazing job.
Is that something that might be overlooked if you're not familiar with the geography or the region?
Yeah, I think it is something that would be very easy to overlook, because unless you have a sense of how geographically vast a region is, it's like, oh, well, there's a population of 30,000 people. That's not that many. That shouldn't be too difficult. But if you throw in their distances of, hundreds of kilometres, and very different communities also, because, it is such a geodisparate area. So you have fishing communities, you have farming communities, you have different kinds of farming communities. You have communities which are business and or educational hubs within those areas. It's not a homogeneous kind of community. You're looking at all sorts of different layers, different understandings of what makes each town, what makes each city, what makes each small community within a region. They all have their own personality. They all have their own differences. They all have their own expectations. And trying to cover all of that without understanding that this is also huge in terms of geographical kind of territory, it would be very easy to overlook just how difficult and how complex that is.
And the final question I want to ask before I let you go, because you've been so generous with your time already. You've worked in these environments, not the peninsula, the other side of the state, to research this. I'm curious then, noting the things you just said about the geographic distance and overcoming that. I mean, how do you go about getting the news in these environments?
It's very easy to miss things. Because if you are not in the place where the thing is happening, sometimes you miss it. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why when I first started out as a journalist, okay, that's a very long time ago now, but I started out as a regional journalist and we would do regular trips where we didn't have a particular brief. The brief was go to this town and talk to people. And you'd trundle up in the office car and you'd spend a day in whatever town it was talking to people. And that was how very often you found out what was going on in that town. There was no, at that point, there was no real other way of doing it. Now, of course, things like local Facebook groups and so on can help facilitate some of that interaction and put things on the radar of journalists that they might not otherwise pick up. But it is very easy to miss news in regional areas if you are not in the place where that is happening. So a lot of newspapers, for example, will be based in bigger cities within regional areas. And it would generally be the biggest city in the region. So the coverage of that city or that town tends to be relatively comprehensive, might be too optimistic a way of putting it, but you know, there tends to be a lot of coverage. The coverage is focused on that town or that city. It's very easy then for things which are important in outlying towns or outlying regions to be missed just because there's no one there to cover the news. And social media absolutely does make a difference as far as that goes, but it's still incredibly easy to miss things.
It's what you describe, kind of a hub and spoke model, where you have a big urban centre and the smaller towns feed into there, and the smaller towns again feed into those in terms of tiered layers.
Yeah, it's very much that hub and spoke idea. And I've, you know, in the research I've done, I've talked to a number of editors particularly who have identified that as problematic, that they are based in a town, and it doesn't matter where the town is, it's the central town, it's the biggest town. Inevitably, in most regions, there are exceptions, but in most regions, that's where the newspaper sits. So they know what's going on there, but they have to really or the journalists have to make much more of an effort to find out what is going on in places that are, I guess you could conceive of as spokes.
And with that, I mean, we've talked about a fair bit. Is there anything else we've missed or you think is really important about the subject that you want to say or people should know?
I think really the take-home message is that local news is no less important now than it has ever been, despite all the changes in the media market, despite the presence of social media and the fact that a lot of regional areas have very active local Facebook groups, have very active local other social media platforms that does tend to be particularly Facebook. Nothing I've seen in all the time that I've been doing research into regional media has suggested that there has been any reduction in demand for or interest in local news. That's something that I can't see ever changing. I did a research project a few years ago where I essentially came, the key finding from that was demand for local news is fair attention time, is the way that local news is delivered. And we saw a lot of that shift and a lot of that change in 2020. News outlets closed down temporarily or permanently. We had a number of startups appear. Some of those are still doing amazingly well. Some of them have since folded. But it's really evident that local people want local news. They want to hear about what's happening around them. They want to hear about the people that are around them. And they want to hear about the things that affect them.
And that's an excellent note to end on. Thank you so much, and I appreciate your time.
It's been great talking to you, Royce.